why are we in the situation we're in? By this time, you know, they've been kicked out of, you know, over 100 countries. And they're trying to find their identity and asking the question, what is our connection, modern day connection between us and the Old Testament Jews? And the answer kept coming back, well, we're the same. And thus we deserve to have the prominence that we had prior. And you get a lot of Jews starting to write articles on this, where now is our day. We are ascending in society. We are coming back from what the Gentiles did to us under the Romans. And now we're going to show, you know, that we are indeed the chosen people still. And by this time, Theodor Herzl was writing a lot of books and articles on this idea in the late 1800s. And he eventually went to Pope Pius X and asked him if the Jews were now so invigorated, so enthusiastic about their future that they wanted to regain the land of Palestine. And this had been talked about in the late 1800s, and they went to Pius X in the early 1900s and asked if he would help. So they're basically, they're looking at the Catholic Church as the wheel or woe of the theological basis for why the Jews can go back to Palestine. And they're looking for approval from the Catholic Church, because once they have that approval, then it's just a matter of putting all the rest of the ducks in order and having the Jews go back to Palestine. So, and that would be a sign that, wow, if the Jews are back in Palestine, their original home, then God must be with them. There's a bright future ahead for the Jews, and we're going to have all kinds of fulfillment of prophecy that in some people's minds was not fulfilled yet, and so on and so on. Unfortunately for them, Pius X said, look, if you don't accept Jesus, there's not much I can do for you. And so they were stymied there, but they kept on going. And they
Moses Hess writes about this in his own diaries. Pius X explicitly refused to lend support to this Zionist project.
That's right. Yeah. And and he had the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, you can't come in here and bully us with your money and your privilege and your prestige and think that, you know, just because you're prominent in the world now, you can start calling the shots. And by this time, you know, you've had the Jewish World Congress come into effect. You've had all kinds of Jewish organizations established throughout the world. You had the Rothschilds with their banking system proliferate all over the world. They, as it stands today, they're in 160 different countries, and they control the central, but most of the central banks of those countries. So it's like a spider's web all over the world. Mm. And then, you know, so they're trying to push their weight basically on the church, and Pius, you know, as good as that's why he's a saint, you know, I mean, yeah. Stood his ground and said, no, this is not going to happen. But by, and most of the popes afterwards, you know, once they got the word from Pius X, they basically followed the same order. But then things began to change, and they changed when in 1946, a Jewish author named Jules Isaac wrote a book called Jesus and Israel. And this was the tipping point. This was the watershed that began to change things, and very rapidly.
Okay, now can we just kind of put a hold on that, because what I want to do is transition into the why, maybe we can mention that, and why Catholic Zionism is an oxymoron.
Yeah, I was going to get right back to that after Jules Isaac, because I wanted to give the history.
Okay.
And then wrap it all up and say, this is Zionism. You see, Zionism basically is the idea that the Jews were God's chosen people. We've been oppressed by the Gentiles for 1,500 years. Now we're coming back under the flag of Zion. And Zion was the popular name in the Old Testament for Jerusalem. okay? Mm-hmm. It was called Zion. So it was an appropriate term to use, Zionism, instead of Jewism or whatever. You know, it put a political and geographical kind of connotation on this movement. Now, a lot of these Zionists came from Russia, and they were communists. Okay, so you had this, you had two basic understandings of Zionism. You had a Ashkenazi view of Zionism where they were atheists and they were going to destroy Christianity. That was their goal. And that's why, you know, 20 million Christians were sent to the gulags, because in Russia at that time, 70% of the commissars were Jews. And Stalin was the one, and Lenin were the ones that basically formed this Jewish society, because atheism and Judaism got along very well, mm-hmm. because it was all against Christianity. And so that was one form of Zionism. Then there was another form, the Sephardic Zionism, who basically wanted to go back to the land of Palestine and start all over again and build the kingdom of God on earth in Jerusalem. Like Menachem Begin was a Sephardic Jew. Mm-hmm. So he and Ariel Sharon in the 1940s formed various gangs in Israel to subdue the Arabs and Palestinians that were living in Palestine so they could take it over. Then, of course, the UN stepped in 1947 and stopped the conflict, at least temporarily, so they could draw boundaries and give 50% to the Jews, 50% to the Palestinians. Yeah. That's all changed, of course. But Zionism, basically, again, is this whole movement to restore the Jew to his former prestige and power that he had in the Old Testament.
And now, some forms of it, anyway, were explicit denials of the personal character of the Messiah. And I think that's important for people to realize, is that they're not going to, you know, the Jews had believed that they wouldn't go back into the Holy Land until, many of them believed that they wouldn't go back into the Holy Land until the Messiah came, and he would, you know, help them to conquer the Holy Land. So a lot of these Orthodox Jews were against Zionism because of that. So the Jews who were pushing the envelope on Zionism, as I understand it, were the ones who were saying, well, the Messiah isn't a person. The Messiah is us. We are the Jewish people are the redeemers of mankind. And this is explicit in some of the early Zionist writings.
Right.
Yes.
And so you have these two versions of Zionism. The Orthodox, however, in Israel were very outnumbered.
Yeah.
Because they were outnumbered first by the Jews from Europe who were not Orthodox. And then you had this whole Reform Judaism that was now dominant in Judaism. And then you had the atheistic Jews who wanted nothing to do with the Bible, but they wanted political goals. So the Orthodox are really outnumbered. And most of the Orthodox Jews are against Zionism, and they're against Jews taking over the land of Palestine. Mm-hmm. But they're an anomaly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're dealing with the major belief system of Jews today, whether they be the international Jews or the Likudnik Jews, who basically there's two kinds of Jews basically today. There's the international Jew who doesn't want anything to do with Israel and Jerusalem. But they don't want to destroy it, of course. But they're not going to be pushing anything in those territories. They're happy to be where they are, ensconced in the Gentile world, but pulling the strings by all the money they have. The other type of Zionism are those that believe that Palestine is their homeland, always been their homeland, and whoever is in there is looking for squatters' rights and really don't belong there at all. Mm-hmm. And the Jew is going to be fulfilled by taking over Palestine. And not only Palestine, but what they call Greater Israel. Greater Israel is the term they use. They even put it on one of their coins back in 1987. On the back of the coin has the map of Greater Israel. And that is a map of what was owned by Israel in the time of Solomon, around 930 BC. And that was the land that stretched from the Nile to the Euphrates. So in Zionism, this is the bigger goal,
yeah,
to get greater Israel, not just Palestine.
Okay.